Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Sunday, August 23rd. Hope you're having a good week. I know that everything is revving up now in the fall. The kids are going back to school and things are well at the church, same thing. All of our programs are now fully back going like we were coming out of summer now. We've got our Sunday school started up again for all ages, and we've got our two services, 8:30, 10:30, and we've got our youth group that kicked off last Wednesday at the Cove, Breakout and Collide. And then this Wednesday night starts our kids' midweek, pre-K all the way up to fifth grade here at the church, 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. And then all our small groups, men's and women's Bible studies and that, they're kicking off this week as well. And so we're all back in full force and excited about that. God is doing a lot of really amazing and wonderful things in our church and in our community, and really just thrilled to see it. This New Testament reading guide and series that we're in right now too, that's been big. It's been a real interest. People have just jumped aboard with that and been reading in their Bibles. If you don't have a reading guide yet, we have them here at the church, or you can find them on our website and our church app as well. But we're reading a chapter a day, 5 chapters a week, going through a particular one in a way there, and it's been great. I've been learning a lot. I hope you have too, just spending some time with God and praying, and that is great. So we are continuing on in that New Testament series this morning. You know, this past week we looked at Mark chapter 6 through 10, and man, there was a lot in there, wasn't there? Jesus does a lot of miracles in those chapters. He's casting out demons. He's teaching about a lot of things, big things. I mean, for example, on Friday, we read Mark 10, where Jesus teaches about money and divorce and about how being the greatest means to be a servant of all. I mean, these are big things, big teachings of Jesus. If we really grab a hold of them, these things can challenge the way that we have thought. Jesus is teaching us the kingdom of God. He's teaching us every day how we are to live. His teachings are often very different from what the world says. You know, but we are called to follow Jesus and to be different, being okay to be different, following him and listening in on what God has to say to us in his word. And so if we're trying only to follow the parts of the scripture or of Jesus's teachings that we agree with or that we like or try, well, then we're not really following Jesus. We need to trust him. He is the Son of God. He only speaks the truth, and he is calling us to the way we were meant to live and follow. We're supposed to trust and obey him in it. But sometimes, boy, those teachings can be challenging to us the first time that we might hear them. This morning, though, and every week when we get together to on a Sunday, I'm going to preach something from the scriptures that we read that previous week. Well, this morning I've picked two stories, one in Mark 6 and the other in Mark 8. And they're very similar. Maybe you noticed this, but Jesus does almost the exact same miracle two times in our scriptures for this week. Jesus feeds a very large crowd. In Mark 6, he feeds the 5,000. And in Mark 8, he feeds 4,000. And in fact, that number was probably even greater than that, because in Mark 6:44, it says the number of men was 5,000. So if that's not counting women and children, which back then sometimes they didn't, that means the total number of people that Jesus could have fed that day was over 10,000 people. In both cases, Jesus does very similar things. We're going to see there. He takes the bread and the fish that they have. He gives thanks for it. He gives it to his disciples to share with the people. And it isn't until they go out with it that the food begins to multiply. and feeds the whole crowd. So I want to read both of these stories for you from Mark 6 and Mark 8, and then talk about some things that we can learn from them, beautiful things. If you got your Bibles, turn with me over to Mark 6, beginning in verse 30. And I'm going to read to 44, and then I'm going to read chapter 8, 1 to 13, both miracles. It says this: "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and Sarge saw such a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'This is a remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But Jesus answered, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to Jesus, 'That would take more than a year and a half's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?' 'How many loaves do you have?' Jesus asked. 'Go and see.' When they went and found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who eaten was 5,000. And then over to Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. Different story, same miracle. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll collapse on the way, because some of them came from a long distance.' His disciples answered, 'But where in this remote place can we anyone get enough bread to feed them?' 'How many loaves do you have?' Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them, gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmatia. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. And Jesus deeply sighed, and he said, 'Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given.' Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side." Something I'm reading, you know, and learning here, all these chapters in Mark, is that Jesus does many miracles. You know, it started with the turning of the water into wine, but he heals all this sickness, even leprosy. He just speaks the word and people are suddenly well. He causes blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. He tells the paralyzed man to get up and walk, and he did. Jesus walks on water. He commands the raging storm to be still, and it obeyed him. I mean, Jesus is amazing in what he can do. I was in my office early on Tuesday morning, the morning of the big storm, if you can remember. Lightning and thunder was outside. A large amount of rain came down and the wind. And I walked outside in the dark and I stood underneath the awning there of our church. And I just listened and looked. And this thought came to my mind. What would it have been like to be there on that boat and watch Jesus speak a word and then this whole storm just stop in 1 second? You know? I mean, Jesus is amazing what he can do. He heals a woman with a bleeding illness that no doctor could cure in 12 years. He raises a little girl to life who had just died. The Gospels are story after story of amazing things that Jesus did. Why did Jesus do miracles? Well, the Gospel of John says, because they are signs. They're meant to reveal the truth of who Jesus is, that he is the Lord, the Son of God, that we can listen to him, trust him in what he is saying. Imagine being there that day long ago in the stories we just read, listening to Jesus, you know, one of those amongst the thousands in the crowd, listening to Jesus preach. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops. There's a little commotion up front. Everyone is hungry around. And then you see from a distance, the disciples start to walk out into the crowd. And each one of them is carrying a basket of bread. And as they go, they just keep reaching into the basket. And the bread just keeps coming out. It never ends. They go around from blanket to blanket, from person to person there, feeding more and more people. And as they go, they just keep reaching into the basket and more bread. And then they get to you and your family, and they reach in and they pull out bread and fish, and you take it and you eat it, and it's real. And the people around you, they're eating it, and everyone is talking about it. There is over 5,000 people in the crowd, and everybody is now eaten. You had grown up hearing the word and the stories of your ancestors in the desert who received manna every day from heaven, and now you realize you just have. Can you imagine that? How could you not believe in Jesus after seeing that? He is the bread of life who has come down from heaven, restoring and healing and calling his people back to God. And his word is like bread that filled their souls. And now he has physically also made bread to give them. The miracles of Jesus first are there to reveal who he is, the Son of God, our Lord, the Messiah, who come to save us. Yet for some people, like those Pharisees that we just read, their hearts were so hard that even after a miracle like that, they're still asking for a sign. They refused to believe and accept him, refused to see what was clearly before them. That's why Jesus, it says, sighs in verse 12 there, because Jesus knows that no matter how many things they see, no matter how many signs he gives, that if someone doesn't want to believe, they never will. Even if he were to die and rise back to life, which he will, he says they still won't believe. And this is so sad because, of course, God loved them. John 1:12 says he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus said, people have eyes but refuse to see. They have ears but refuse to hear. Hearts but close to the truth or the love of God. This is just a little thing. But I really would encourage you to pray at the beginning of your day, as well as every time when you open this Bible. Pray first. Ask the Lord to open your eyes that you might see, and open your ears that you might hear him, and open your heart that you might truly believe in what you are reading and hearing from God. We are not often a trusting people. We are used to being very critical and skeptical today. And to be honest, it can be hard today to know who you can trust. But you can trust Jesus, and you can trust the words of this page. believe in him and in the miracles that he did and in the promises that he made and in the things that he taught. Look at them. Really open your eyes and your heart to Jesus and believe in him. I got four things to say about this scripture for today I want us to think about. The first one is that the miracle actually starts, it tells us in both cases, because Jesus is moved with compassion on the people. Besides the miracle being a sign to reveal the truth of Christ, this miracle is also another act of Jesus's compassion. Jesus was often moved with compassion. Let us not miss that. He loved people. He cared about their condition. In Mark 6:34, it says, when Jesus landed and saw that large crowd, he had compassion on them. That's what moved him. In Mark 8, 1-2, it says, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I've got compassion on these people. And this really speaks to me. I grew up with a dad who served at Compassion International, that organization that started because of a missionary who had a long time ago visited Korea after the Korean War. And he saw all the orphans left behind and how no one was there able to care for them. They were hungry, many of them, without homes, abandoned, or they didn't have school. And so this missionary was so moved with compassion that he made their needs his. And he started Compassion International to connect families in the U.S. with orphans in Korea, or even just poor people who didn't have the basic needs. His heart was impacted by what he saw, and he had to do something. He could not do nothing at the extreme needs that he saw all around him. My dad worked for Compassion for 40 years, and he traveled all around the world, and he would come home with these stories. And as a kid, I would listen. And one of the preachers that Dad worked with all those years was Tony Campolo. I love Tony Campolo. He always spoke with such passion. He would go with my dad overseas and see things and then come home and try to share with churches and Christian colleges about the reality of poverty in the world that so many lived with and how we could make a difference even just for one kid that needs us, that we could help feed somebody who didn't have food. We could help clothe someone who literally was going without, or help them get to school or get medicines that they needed. And he would plead with people to hear that they could make a difference. Growing up, I often heard Matthew 25 preached, where Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you gave me something to drink, thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me some clothes. I was stranger and you invited me in. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the people said, when were you hungry and we fed you, naked and we clothed you, sick and we came to look after you? And Jesus told them, what you did for the least of these, you really did unto me. Every time we care for someone else, we are giving to Jesus. How that scripture mixed with those stories from my dad and Tony just rested in my heart growing up. I grew up learning that to love Jesus was to love like he loved, who he loved, to care for the needy, the sick, the dying, and the hurting of this world, to have his heart in me. Jesus had compassion. That's how both of these miracles start. Our God is a God of compassion. He feels. He does not shut his eyes to pain, sorrow, oppression, or need, or hunger. Many of his miracles mention his compassion. Jesus cared about people. He honestly loved them. Even unto his death, he would give his life for them to save them from their sins. In Mark 6:34, it says he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In Mark 8:2, it says he had compassion because they had nothing to eat, and he was worried that on their way home they would collapse. In both cases, Jesus teaches and he feeds. He teaches and he feeds. He cares for them spiritually and physically. We as his church are to be a people who look after souls and bodies, the whole person. The prophets in the Old Testament are pretty hard on God's people when they're neglecting the poor, the widow, the foreigner, the sick, or the lost. The shepherds in Israel were to care, and when they stopped caring, God speaks. Sure, there are going to be people who take advantage of our compassion, but there are many genuine articles out there that so need Christ. Pray you don't lose his compassion and love for people. Don't let your hearts become hardened. The second thing, though, I want to draw your attention to in our story is that Jesus tells his disciples to do something. Jesus knows he's about to do the miracle, but he intentionally does it with his disciples. He chose to work through them. Just like he sent them out to preach his word, now he sends them out to feed the hungry. Jesus is calling us. He turns to his disciples and says, "You give them something to eat." And in both stories, Jesus' disciples argue with Jesus about why this cannot be done. In the first story, they say it would take a year and a half's wages. Do you really want us to blow all our money on this? That kind of doesn't sound like a good use of money. Just send the crowd home, they're telling Jesus. In the second story, they argue, "We're in this remote place. Where in the world could we possibly find food for them?" But I love Jesus' response to them. He doesn't get upset. He just simply says both times, "Well, what do you have? Go and see." Go and see. In Mark 6:38, Jesus simply says, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." Go and count. Make an inventory. Start there. I know you don't think you have enough, but what do you have? Go and see. In Mark 8:5, Jesus does the same thing. The disciples ask again, "Where in the world are we supposed to find enough bread for all this crowd?" And Jesus again simply says, "How many loaves do you have?" Count your loaves and fishes. Don't tell me what you don't got. Tell me what you do. Even if it's not very much, it's something. When Carrie and I were just starting out in marriage and in ministry, we had so very little. And our big treat each week was getting McDonald's cheeseburgers on the day that they were, was the cheap day, 50 cent Wednesdays. And we'd buy four for $2, and then we would make our own fries. We did not have a lot. But my wife is so full of faith and just trusts the Lord that she told me we're also going to tithe from what we got. God will take care of us. We are going to give. I argued with her about that. I was worried we didn't have enough to give. She kept reminding us we did. And she won. And we gave, and we never ran out. We always had enough. Jesus and Carrie were teaching me how to trust the Lord to give what I got. As a small church starting out, we didn't have a huge budget or lots of people, but when we saw something we felt God was asking us to do, and it might have just seemed overwhelming at first, our first thought is, "We're too small, we can't do that." If we just stopped and counted the loaves and fishes, what do we have? We began to see people in the church with certain gifts that weren't being used or opportunities and connections that we could start there with. And it maybe wasn't a lot. Maybe it could be even laughable to some of how little we had to begin with. But every miracle of Jesus begins with one small gift put into his hands. That's all you need, just to bring to him what you do got. Instead of saying, "No, this can't be done," try saying yes to the Lord and counting the loaves and fishes and just bringing what you got. That's all he's asking you to do. In Mark 6, the disciples go, and what they find is they got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's it for 5,000 people. I mean, that's not even a meal enough for two. And in the Gospel of John, we learn that that gift even came from a little boy. He's the one who gave them the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. A child did. All they had was what a kid gave them. But Andrew, with enough faith, brings it to Jesus. But what he says shows his own little hesitation. He says, "This is what I got, but this is not nearly enough for this great need." But he didn't dismiss it. He brings it to Jesus. In Mark 8, when the disciples go out and find what they got, they discover they got 7 loaves and a few fish, so a little more than they had the last time around, but still nowhere near what they need to feed this crowd. But in both cases, Jesus says to them, "That'll do. Have the people sit down." That'll do. Have the people sit down. So again, we are supposed to just count the loaves and fishes and bring what we do have and place it in his hands. Which leads me to my third point, and that is that Jesus receives what they give him, and then he multiplies it. He does the same process in both miracles. It says in Mark 6:39, Jesus directs the disciples to get the people to sit down, and then Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looks up to heaven. He gives thanks for it. He breaks it, gives it to his disciples to give to the people, and they all ate, and they were all satisfied. In Mark 8:6, it says the exact same thing. Jesus tells the crowd to sit down. Then Jesus takes the 7 loaves and the few fish. He looks to heaven again. He gives thanks for it again. He then breaks it again. He gives it to his disciples again to give to the people again. And they all ate and were all satisfied. Jesus then has the disciples go back into the crowd in both stories and pick up the leftovers. And in Mark 6, they pick up 12 basketfuls. And in Mark 8, they pick up 7. If we look closely at what Jesus is doing in both of these stories, it is the same thing a priest would do during Passover and what Jesus does even during the Last Supper. He takes the bread, he looks to heaven, he gives thanks for what God has given, he breaks it, he gives it to his disciples to share with others. This is the way of Jesus. This is what Jesus did even with his own body. He looked to heaven, gave thanks to the Father for the opportunities he had. His body was then broken for us upon a cross. His blood was shed for us, given to us that we might now share with others. This is the way of Jesus. Everything we got, we receive from him. We bring it back to him. We give it to him. We give our offerings, our service. We offer up our prayers. We give him our time. We give of ourselves. We do it in his name. Everything we do for him, inviting him to use the little bits that we got for his glory and somebody else's good. We prayerfully give it to Jesus first, and then he takes it and does way more than we could have ever thought or imagined. What we have placed in him, his hands, multiplies. We are meant to live the feeding of the 5,000, I think, every day of our life. Jesus inviting us to do things so much greater than what we could imagine us doing or that we could do alone. But when we trust him and we give what we got to him and obediently just go and serve in faith and love and help others as he is calling us to, he does through that something we couldn't do by ourselves. Offer your stuff, your time, your heart, your resources, all to him, and watch what he can do with your life. Everything we bring to Jesus multiplies. In his hands, it's always enough. Maybe the Lord's laying on your heart somebody and you pray, "Lord, I feel compassion for this particular person or this need, but I don't know how best to help them. Show me what I can do." Then begin to look around at what you got that you might give. And then pray, saying, "Lord, I don't got much, but take what I have and use it for your kingdom. I'm not a good speaker, but speak through me. I don't have a lot of money, but use the little I'm giving here. I don't got a lot of time, or not very good at this service, or I don't really know, but use what I got, Lord. I got a home, I got a bed, I got a little food in the pantry, or some clothes that I could maybe give, or an evening that I could clear in my schedule." Just start there. Count your loaves and fishes and give what you do got, and then go as he sends you and watch him multiply it. This is ministry. Every one of us has different things that the Lord asks us to bring to him at different times. May he reveal it to us, and we go forth in his name with our little basket of bread and watch what he can do. Which leads me to the last thing I want to say about our scripture for today, which is what happens the day after. Notice in Mark 6, the story right after the feeding of the 5,000 is Jesus walking on the water and calming the sea. And in Mark 6:50, it says, when the disciples see Jesus walking on the water, they're afraid. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. It's me. take courage. And then he climbs into the boat and the wind dies down. And it says the disciples are all amazed at that. But then it says this line in Mark 6:52. It says, "For they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened." When I read that, I immediately stopped. I had never seen that verse before. The connection between the two stories. It's implying that the disciples should not have been shocked by Jesus walking on the water or calming the sea, because they had seen what he had done just the day before. But it says they were shocked. Even though they were the ones who had been carrying the baskets, they knew there were only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And yet as they walked around, Almighty God multiplied it to more than enough. And yet the day after, now they're amazed that he can walk on water? Of course he can. Afraid when they see him command the ocean and the thunder? Of course he can. He is God. The scripture is saying their hearts were hardened, like they could not believe. Their eyes saw it, but they couldn't believe it, even though the miracle they had just witnessed the day before. And we criticize that, but is it any really different for us? We who have watched God answer prayers and provide for us over and over again, and yet we still live anxious lives without peace and without joy, chasing around like people who don't know God when we do know him. He lives within us. Everything we face today, he is there and he is over it. Have I not seen God provide so many times in my life already? Why is this time then any different? Have I not seen and experienced his faithfulness and answers to prayer so many times? And yet how quickly can I be discouraged or worried or defeated? It's like I forget the miracle as soon as it happens. In Mark 8, we see the same thing. In Mark 8, 14 to 21, listen to what it says. Jesus and his disciples left. This is now again after the second feeding, the meeting of the 4,000. They left and they went into a boat across to the other side, and the disciples realized they had forgotten to bring bread. They had only 1 loaf with them. And Jesus said, "Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." And they began to discuss together what Jesus meant. Was it because we said we have no bread? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up?" 7, they replied. Jesus said, "Do you still not understand?" The word "understand" is the same word used specifically for putting something together, like a puzzle of many pieces that when put together reveals the truth. Jesus is saying, "Guys, can you still not put this all together? Who I am and what I can do? You're worrying over having only 1 loaf of bread. Are you serious? I just turned 5 loaves into food for 5,000 people. I just turned 7 loaves into food for 4,000 people. Do you not think I can't feed you and that I won't take care of you?" Jesus said, "Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." What was the yeast of the Pharisees? Unbelief. Refusal, no matter what they saw, to believe what was right in front of them. They aren't putting the puzzle together. They aren't believing Jesus is from God. They're refusing to connect the dots that are so obvious. They don't want to see or hear. Their hearts are hardened. They're stuck into still thinking with human understanding and not faith. And this same lack of faith can enter our hearts too, can worry up our minds, can stop us from stepping out for his glory. We got to guard our hearts against this. To look around and see just 1 loaf of bread after he has provided everything. To fail to remember everything our God has done within his word and in our lives and all the stuff that he has promised. You can trust him. To look upon the latest challenge as if we don't know God. How quickly we forget. How quickly we forget that he parted the seas. so they could walk across on dry ground. And he overcame Egypt and delivered them out. And he provided manna every morning as they walked across the desert, and water that just flowed from a rock. Do we not remember? He took down the walls of Jericho and took down Goliath and the Philistines, and provided for Elijah by the ravens, gave a child to Abraham and Sarah at age 100, worked a miracle to save Esther and her people, went to a cross, and on the third day rose again to give us forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. He put the Holy Spirit in us. He has opened our eyes. He's changed our life. And just last week, he's provided everything we needed for our family. Are you kidding? Are we still dull? Jesus said, do you still not understand? Can you still not put together the pieces of who I am and just how much I love you? I love the song Gyra by Maverick City. I hear it on Christian radio now and again. Gyra is Hebrew for provider. God is our provider. The Israelites used to call him this. And the song goes, Gyra, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance, for you are Gyra, and you are enough. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I could imagine. And that is enough. You are enough. Do we still not understand? God is a God of great compassion. He cares about all of us in need. And in Christ, he calls us to do something about the hurts and the lost and the needs of the people around us. He calls us to count the loaves and the fishes of what we do have and to bring them to him. And he looks to heaven, gives thanks, breaks it, gives it back to us to give, multiplying it as we go in his name. May we guard our hearts against the yeast of the Pharisees, unbelief. May we not forget the Lord, but each day remember all he has done, and that he is more than enough, and that we are chosen, loved, saved by his blood, and we can do all things through him. If we got just one loaf of bread, praise God for it. We're going to be just fine, for he turns five into a feast for 5,000. He's definitely got this. He's got us. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.